Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. It's a podcast, so I don't know when you listen to it. You could listen to it whenever you want. But welcome back to Trust the Tape, episode 4?
5, I believe.
I think it's 4.
I think it's 5.
I hope it's 4, because I'm putting an invoice for 3.
Oh, have
you? If I've done 4.
Is it?
I think we did the 16th, the 22nd, the 29th, and today. That's what I think.
Okay.
This is episode 4.
Maybe that's because it's the way, you know, but I know it's like 78 days until the draft.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of, that was one of those things. So a lot of things I know, and there's a lot of things I don't know, but episode 4, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do it then.
I'm going to tweet right this second at JC1053, and nobody's going to be able to hear it, but I know you've gotten some questions. I'll see if anybody else has any, and we'll just bang through what people want to hear about on the finest draft podcast in all the land. I think it has by far the most knowledge of any draft podcast anywhere.
I'll tell you what.
Definitely the best personalities.
Well, I appreciate
tell you,
that.
This is
half of it is pretty good, though.
That's the finest in all the land.
Yeah. You know, some folks have been wanting to ask about, there's some names of some guys that people have been wanting to ask about, and maybe we should talk about some of those guys down the line. You know, I tweeted out last night Tuesday night, that you know, if there were some down the line guys you wanted to look at, and some people kind of responded. I got a request for some players, one of them being John Hightower, the wide receiver from Boise State. You have not seen him.
Why are you always doing this, though? I feel like your favorite thing to do is be like, hey, Jeff, you haven't seen this guy yet.
Oh.
Why don't you just let me get my shine on?
Well, no, I'm just trying to ask. I'm asking about a guy. You know, you're like the king of wide receivers.
So, I've watched.
So you're looking at me. No, you have not looked at this guy. But I want to talk
I've seen 15 of them, but not him.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll talk about him a little bit, though. You know, to me, here's a guy, 6'2", 184 pounds. Kid, this is an interesting kid
He's a thin man.
Thin man, yeah. You know, he's a jet sweep guy. He's got some elusive ability to him with the ball in his hands. I saw him adjust to a low ball. So then you're talking about a tall guy that's been able to get low and to adjust, you know. And this, you know, this day and age, not every ball is thrown perfectly. So you got to be able to, and especially for a tall guy to be able to adjust low, you know, I do appreciate a guy that can go do that. I like the way he carries his route across the field. We saw that, you know, with some guys before in the draft. You got to be that guy that's not afraid to take your route inside. You know, there's a lot of good plays that can be made inside.
There's a lot of free 15-yard penalties to be had in there.
Exactly, but you got to be tough to do that. And that's what I'm saying. This guy's not afraid to go inside. He shows some quickness to get after the ball, go after the ball. The staff will take some deep shots with this cat, too. And I really like that about him. You know, you give me a guy that can run it underneath to get a little vertical on you right there and make plays down the field. I mean, I think... Here, we saw in the Super Bowl the other day with Deebo Samuel, and you know you appreciate Deebo Samuel. He brought it up to us last year when we were doing these podcasts working on the draft. Give me the guy that with the ball in his hand can run, can be physical, can make runs after catch.
If you want to tackle Deebo Samuel, you will earn that tackle.
Yeah, and I think that this kid, this Hightower, this guy could be very tough to bring down in the open field. I'm anxious to see what you think about him when you do that. But he's got a burst to finish, and he can track the ball. You know, I think he's a smooth route runner, shifty with the ball in his hands. He'll go get it in the air, and he can adjust the ball behind him. So there's a lot of things. In a group of wide receivers, that there is a lot of them. And you were talking about the number you've done. I'm looking at a guy that when you stack him up with all the guys there, he's in that mix with me with Edwards from South Carolina, Colin Johnson from Texas, Van Johnson from Florida, and this kid is kind of in that mix.
This sounds like a, what is that, about the fourth round, third or fourth?
Third round.
Okay.
Third round guy. Yeah,
okay.
Third round guy. But, you know, there's some people that might have him a little bit higher than that. But he's a guy that...
There's too many receivers to get any higher.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Where does he, you know, in the list of guys that I fit him in there with, and I'm glad you kind of, you had him in the spot, but, you know, another one of those kids, another Boise kid, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, a defensive end there a little bit later that we looked at with Weaver.
I've watched him.
Boise's putting some good kids in this league. You know, the Cowboys seem to have their eye on these Boise kids. So, you know, but the league is starting to take notice, too, as well. And so keep an eye on Hightower as a guy.
So if you're looking for scouting reports on players and you're listening to Trust the Tape, maybe this is the first episode you've listened to and you're going, wait a minute, a third-round wide receiver is where you guys are starting? No, we're working our way through this whole draft. So if you check previous episodes, you can hear about the best players in the draft as we work our way through and scout these guys up. So who are some of the other guys that you have been asked about?
How about Taylor from
Tennessee?
Tennessee, the defensive end that, you know, some people think that might be kind of a left end guy. There's some guys that think, well, you know, he's got the quickness and all to be a right end. I see him more myself as a left defensive end. 6'3", 257 pounds, 4'6", 7". I'll let you start since I went ahead and talked about a guy that I thought you'd done all those wide receivers, so it's my bad on my part.
Yeah, shots fired.
Yeah.
You knew coming into here I hadn't watched Hightower yet. You knew it.
I just wanted to see your reaction, to be honest with you.
I'll fight you. You know I'll
fight
you.
I know you'll fight me. Go ahead, but talk about Daryl Taylor, Tennessee number 19, 6'3", 257, 4'6", 7". Defensive end from Tennessee.
Daryl Taylor is one of the guys that I'll be really interested to see how his combine goes. Because watching his tape, I'll just take you verbatim through the notes. I like the body. I like the way he moves. At 255 pounds, Daryl Taylor is not getting pushed around. You watch him against Georgia on the goal line, and he shows your ability to pop, extend, shed a block. And that's against good players. That's Isaiah Wilson, the right tackle for Georgia.
Able to pop Georgia, and extend. Florida, you can watch those games, absolutely.
Our guy can anchor. He looks a little undersized. If the athletic profile's right, I think somebody should be interested in the top 50. But his ability to shed is inconsistent. The big tackles sometimes swallow him up a little bit. To me, he was a frustratingly almost guy.
Oh.
He'll play detached, rushed with his hand up or down, seen him more down than up. Violence in his game is there, but inconsistent, too passive at times. Could totally see him put it together and be a very quality NFL player. But for me, he leaves something to be desired. I put him in the third round.
I'll tell you what, I think you've got this guy pegged there. I do see a powerfully built player. I think in the lower body especially. I mean, he could hold the point of attack with his power. He does have a little bit of a burst when you watch him play. Can close when he's on the move. I was impressed with that. I was impressed with how he runs down ball carriers from the backside. Like the ball would go away, and he's hustling to get over there and make a play. So I was very impressed by that. I saw, again, the power with his ability to walk the blockers back. You know, we talk about guys, tackles are responsible for the width of the pocket. I've seen him walk tackles back and him be able to get in on plays because of that. So, you know, this is, you mentioned about hands and you mentioned about playing off blocks and stuff, the consistency. I did see a guy that he will play off the block in order to defend the run. He'll stay in his gap when he has to, hold that blocker in place. I liked his strong hands to finish when you watched him play as well. So brings the ball carrier down quickly. And, you know, when he makes tackles, the ball carrier stops and the ball carrier is down, tackled right there. But he has the ability to draw holding calls too, Jeff, and that's where I was thinking about the pass rush stuff. If you've got the ability to draw holding calls, then you've got the ability to rush passers. If you're putting blockers in bad positions in order to rush the passer or to get that, to make those plays, then I think that you can rush off that right side. I talk about him being a left defensive end just because of the power. But I'm a fan of this guy. But I think there's times where he does rely on power too much as a pass rusher. So I'd like to see him.
That sounds like a second round player.
Well, you know what? I looked at him, and as I look at my board right now, I have him as I have him in the second round.
Yeah.
Is where I do. You're absolutely right. I have him above Kareem from Notre Dame. So if you look at it like, I'm looking at left defensive end type guys. Gross Matos was a guy we mentioned last week for Penn State and what we thought about him. I've got him in that second round area, though, as a left defensive end, again, ahead of Kareem from Notre Dame.
Who else is in the second round?
In that group, on the left defensive ends, I have him and Kareem, I said. And then on the right side rushers, Grenard, Weaver, Uche, and Lewis from Alabama were my guys.
Okay.
Those were my second round, really right ends.
You have Gross Matos in the third?
No, I have him in the bottom of the first.
Oh, okay.
On the left side.
Okay, I thought we were gonna have to fight.
Well, I had him, you know, you always talk about that 1-2 kind of area.
Gross Matos.
So if you talk about first round defensive ends on the right side, Young, of course, is gonna be one of the top rated players from Ohio State. Chaseon from LSU, I think, is in that mix as well. And then our Iowa kid.
Epinesa
will be the next guy in there.
Okay, who else we've been asked about?
Talk about Weaver a little bit from Boise State. I mentioned him earlier.
Okay. You're going to make me go after guys today is what you're going to do.
Not as high on Weaver?
I'm not.
Okay.
The production is awesome.
Yeah.
His production was awesome. But I've watched him play, and so many of his sacks is just him running around really bad offensive tackles.
Oh, you don't like these Mountain West offensive tackles?
No, so for me it's kind of a tough evaluation because you're looking at a guy that's the all-time conference sack leader. He lives in the backfield. But I saw something he said about himself, like when he declared for the draft, about when he showed up to Boise, like something about I went from being a fat kid to... His body still kind of looks like that. When I look at him, I'm like,
He's 6'3", 264 is what we got right now.
Yeah, so the production is outstanding. But watching him on tape, I just struggle because I don't get to see him against the competition that I'd like to see him against. I didn't watch the Florida State game.
Yeah, I watched the Florida State game
where they got to run a three-man front a lot of the time because Florida State's in the spread. And he's got to line up outside and drop too often for me. I want to see him rush the passer, so... I didn't see enough on tape for me to want to pick him in the top 50, but the production screams that he's going to be picked in the first two rounds. I've got him as sort of a 2-3,
okay,
where I'm really struggling with what exactly to make of him.
Yeah, you know, he does play as a stand-up outside linebacker if you watch that Florida State game, because they did that. I've talked about that. That was probably a warm day in Tallahassee, and you know that was a track meet for both teams to have to deal with that defensively. But I thought this guy's got some redirection skills to him. You know, when you watch him play, I think he can easily dip underneath the blocker when he's on the move. I called him slippery, to be honest with you, there in the way he plays. I thought he had some ability to get the edge. You talked about running around the edge. I get what you're saying there. But he can make some things happen in the pocket. He can extend on blockers. He can control with his hands. He plays with pass rush moves. And so many times I've seen these defensive ends, they just try and go up the field. We just mentioned the kid from Tennessee. Tries to play with power too much, you know. Have a plan, have ability to affect the way you rush the passer. That's what they do in the NFL. These NFL tackles are too good. If you throw no pass rush moves, if you have no plan, if you show them if you're a one-trick pony, you're not going to have success. And I think that Curtis Weaver's got the ability to throw some pass rush moves on you and make some things happen. I didn't see a guy that he's always moving towards the ball. I saw a guy split double teams that told me he's got a little bit of power to him. I felt like he had more speed and quickness to him than power, though, even though he was splitting those double-team moves. The burst I was talking about, he keeps his outside arm free to play the run. He doesn't get hooked or reached. I think that's something that you have to kind of admire about him. I saw him as a finisher. So I think he has a feel for how to attack the pocket, but better at times rushing at the proper level. There were times when the quarterback was on a certain level where he was at that point in the pocket, and Weaver was a little further up the field, a little deeper than he needed to be. So I think once he gets that feel for where he's at, that he could help you as a pass rusher. So I don't see a guy, again, I mentioned him playing in a two-point stance as an outside linebacker. I feel like, though, he could put his hand on the ground and this kid could be fine. I do have him in the second round myself.
Okay. All right. You got a loaded up second round. Well, I mean, they are pass rushers, so there's going to be 10 or 12 of them going the first
two rounds. You're going to have to separate who's who in that group.
Yeah.
I think you're really going to have to say, okay, do you want, like I say, I look at the left ends, I look at the right ends, you know, who is going to be that guy for you? I have a feeling that, you know, we were coming into this draft kind of, who are the edge rushers? Who are the guys that can affect the pocket? Are there going to be enough guys? You know, when we talk about the Michigan kid, 241 pounds, are, you know, you happy with that? You're going to be happy with him rushing the pass? I mean, yeah, he's got the ability and all that, but, you know, guys might say that's just a little bit too light right there.
I don't love this class, Brian.
You don't love this edge rush group?
Nope. I love Chase Young, Epenesa Grosmatos, and Chaseon. I see the potential. Then Okwara, Anai, Uche.
Okay, talk about Anai a little bit, because that's a kid I have not done. So I'll let you one up me here on Anai. He's a guy I do need to study. He was a guy that actually people were mentioning, but he was a guy that people kind of learned about at the Senior Bowl. What did the tape of Utah tell you about him as a player?
I think you'll like him, because I think he's one of the, other than Chase Young, I would probably say he's second for me in this class in terms of a guy who actually has a plan.
Okay.
And has pass
play
rush
wide
moves.
And rush kind of thing, or do they play him tight at Utah to the tackle, or is he a, how do you view him?
So he plays as an edge, his hands on the ground a lot. Uh-huh. Sometimes he plays a five-tech defensive end.
Okay, that's head up.
Yeah, so sometimes they will play him head up. He plays 3-4 outside linebacker, 4-3 D end, and 3-4 D end. He lines up at all those different spots. My big issue with him is the lack of length showed up on tape. I'm watching him, and I'm like, man, these offensive tackles get their hands on him too often. Yeah. What's
Except
going on here?
Except the Senior Bowl offensive tackles.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, then the Senior Bowl, they measured him, and his arms are shorter than 32 inches. And That explains it. So he's going to be a short-armed rusher.
So guys were getting on his body, though. When you're watching him, these Pac-12 tackles were getting their hands on him, and was he having a hard time separating from them?
Yes. If he gets blocked, I think he has a hard time. And I think
no counter moves or anything like that?
Well, he does. Like, he can rush inside, he can rush outside. He's got a nice spin move. You see that against USC. I watched him against USC, Washington State, BYU. Yeah. I think he's got to develop that ability to power through, because he'll get the corner or start to get the corner. But he just can't rip through it and finish it. So I think he does have to develop power. I think the lack of length is a little bit of an issue. But he had 13 sacks, 14 tackles for loss. He does a good job with the inside arm when he is turning the corner to get inside. He can speed rush outside. He's got a nice inside spin move. Mm-hmm. I think he's just got to develop an ability to hammer the hands off of him or to rip through when he's turning that corner on offensive linemen.
Okay.
Because he's going to have to overcome a lack of length.
So he's got to learn a way to slap those hands, get him off, and get to the corner. So, because with the way you sound like you're talking,
I like the athleticism and I like the plan.
Yeah.
For him.
But you see consistent pass rush moves. I mean, that's the one thing we saw at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
That he was always coming up the field, but there were pass rush moves along the way.
Yeah, he can go straight speed. He can counter back inside. He's a good stunt player.
Where would you have him in relation to where him and Taylor then, who you would have? Where do you have him in that?
Have him ahead of both of them. I have Anai and then Uche, then Taylor and Weaver.
Yeah, see, I got Weaver over Uche. Myself.
I like Uche a lot. I just hate that he's 240 pounds. And he's got a tweener. Somebody's going to play him at off-ball linebackers. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think you're right about
that. That's what's going to happen with him.
I think you're right about that.
But I do like Anai. I like him. He's a good player.
All right. Let's go to some people are asking about defensive tackles. And you were tweeting out on JC1053 that you really like the Elliott kid from Missouri.
I do. And I was talking... Actually,
are we going to get a death story here now?
No, I was talking last night to somebody who heard that I liked Jordan Elliott, and they texted me and was like, that dude with like no fundamentals and no technique, that dude? And I was like, yeah, that dude.
Oh, no.
Jordan Elliott is a natural ability guy to me at Missouri.
Scout's reaching out to you and telling you this guy is not a very good player.
Kinda.
Huh.
But I'm the better scout. So I stick to my guns. If I see a guy and I like him. Jordan Elliott, I got in the second round and I really like him.
Yeah.
Because despite the fact that he has no clue what he's doing with his hands, his pad level is awful.
Yeah.
They still can't stop him from getting where he wants to go. And it's a combination of having natural power and natural slipperiness.
Uh-huh.
So I like Jordan Elliott. I want him in the second round. I think the Missouri D tackle for me right now. Obviously, Derek Brown and Javon Kinlaw are my top two.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Elliott's probably my third D tackle.
See, that's what I was
really like him, and I really like A&M's Matabike, which think I'm too high on him too, and I don't care.
I'm not high on Matabike. I'm not high on I'm a lot less on that.
I got him ahead of Blacklock at TCU. I got him ahead of Gallimore at OU.
Now we're gonna fight.
Yeah,
because Black,
we can fight.
Okay, but this is interesting because I do agree with you about Elliott, and to me,
real dangerous.
I was kind of thinking like, and who was I talking to? And I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Elliott got taken late one, early two.
2.5 sacks. The guy had no production whatsoever, but I'm telling you, he's a baller.
But the guy's 6'4", 325 pounds.
Yeah, he's a monster.
And he moves. It's incredible. You're talking about guys that, you know, move, that can play that nose. I think he can play nose or three, either one.
I do too. I put him with the ones because of his size.
Yeah,
but I can play more.
But it's impressive. If you haven't seen Jordan Elliott, and he wears number one from Missouri, which is great. That's a baller move on his part. But he's impressive for how well he moves for his size. He is always on the go. He's not standing in one spot waiting for the ball to come to him. He is going to find ways to make things happen. He's difficult to handle once he's on that move. Outstanding range with the ability to close on the play. Exceptional burst in the way he gets off the ball. He can make these blockers look poor with his quickness. Power to hold the blocker along the line of scrimmage. Power in the upper and lower body. Man, this is a big man. And there were a couple of snaps where he did lose the ball, but I didn't see that as an overall problem. It was like he was trying to find it, and then the ball was to the outside, and then he tried to react, but he was a little bit late that way. But I don't see that. You used the word slippery about him for a big man. I think that's really a key for him. He plays really well in a small area. I mean, like this, like the ball comes by him. He's getting rid of the blocker, and there's the tackle right there. Freakish athlete, I think.
Yeah,
freakish athlete.
He's gonna be good.
Yeah, so
he's gonna be good.
I mean, he's active. He could tip the ball when he doesn't get the push. I just don't see much downside to his game. I'm sure there's something that somebody at Missouri is probably going to say to one of these scouts, and it's going to come out. We're going to hear it at the combine. That, oh, he's lazy. He doesn't want to work. But watch the tape of Jordan Elliott, and I think you get an idea about the type of player he is.
Keep it moving. Who else are we getting asked about? Who we got to talk about?
Keep it moving. I'll tell you what. How about this guy then? When you mentioned Blacklock from TCU, and here's another guy.
He's not better than Matabike.
We could talk about. All right. Well, okay. Well, tell me then. All right. We'll talk about Blacklock then. As what you saw of him, and I'll tell you what I saw of him, and then we'll get to Matabike.
Ross Blacklock, TCU, number 90. I really do like him.
6'4", 331, by the way.
Is he that big?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, they listed him at 305.
Yeah.
So you've got better numbers than I do.
Yeah,
but,
this is the numbers I was getting from the pros is what I got was 331. Now, this is it might be worth our while to look up what TCU has him at, because again, these were numbers that I got from the combine. So this might be something that, you know, I've been trusting those numbers. So well, let's see. But go ahead, talk
Ross
about it.
Blacklock, tough at the point of attack, not overwhelming, but does flash a bull rush, able to spin off of guys and move laterally to play the run game, good balance to spin and work to the ball, able to work through gaps on the move, does a good job with pad level and keeping his butt back and down, arms extended above his eyes, flashes an arm over move and ability to show left and move right to beat a single blocker,
okay.
Plays a true nose, one technique with a four-man line, will stall out or get pushed around a little bit against double teams. I wrote that I really think he's a three technique that's playing the one at TCU.
Yeah.
Uses leverage to hold the point well. Looks like a better athlete than most one techniques. Can work around blocks and slide through to make plays. So my notes are very positive.
Yeah, and you're right, because if you have him at 305, TCU, if you go on their site, has him at 6'4", 305.
Right.
And so I had him at three. Like you say, my combine numbers, that's a mistake right there. I mean, he looked a lot smaller than 331 from watching the tape, but I do agree.
Yeah, that's why I was very surprised.
Yeah,
holy
I do
cow,
agree with the shape.
Look, 331.
Probably more of a three than a one.
Plays
the one at TCU.
Yeah.
So you're right about that. So I see what I saw with the kid was I saw some really good initial quickness. I thought he could be a hard guy to stop once he's on the move. He was good with his hands. He could control the blocker. He saw a share of double teams. You watch him against Baylor, against Texas Tech. During those games, I mean, he was getting double teamed quite a bit. He plays in a rotating system there. So it's like you're trying to get a feel for him as a player. You're trying to go, okay, he's two,
and then
three,
he's out.
And then he's
you
out.
Start skipping
and then,
plays.
And then there's then they go five plays where he's not, you know, he's not in the game.
Wait till you get to, have you watched Terrell Burgess, the Utah safety?
No. No.
It's going to drive you nuts.
Because they have him in and out so
not
much?
Really in and out, just trying to find him.
Oh.
Oh, God, he's playing safety, and then he's playing nickel corner, and then he's playing on the edge, and you're just like, where every snap? Yeah. Where are you?
Well,
I need a highlighter.
Yeah, well, this TCU uses a rotating system here, but this guy gets up the field in a hurry. He could be disruptive in the way he plays. I saw him working down the line of scrimmage in order to make tackles. He finds the ball well. He's very much a reactionary athlete. He's a hard guy to fool. You know, I didn't see they were trying to do some things. Tech was trying to do some movement stuff on him, and he wasn't going to buy any of that. Wrap-up tackler. I thought he got small in a hurry to get those to shoot those gaps, get through the cracks. It was solid technique. There's a guy, again, hands, slap, swim, grab, pull, that kind of stuff. And he chases the ball. I think he can make things happen in the pocket. So I kind of like this guy for that. But then you're going to tell me about this Texas A&M kid, another one that kind of goes – in and out of games as well.
I got the tags touching, just so you know. I got the tags touching.
I don't believe that.
I just got Matt BK above him.
I don't believe that at all.
Athletic and explosive mover for 300-pounder, 5.5 sacks each of the last 2 years, double-digit tackles for loss each of the last 2 years. Wins from the nose as a pass rusher with quickness in the Ole Miss game. He's able to show one way, go the other way. For a guy over 300 pounds, he's got that shimmy. You come off the ball, and it's kind of like, where am I going? And then he's gone, and there's nothing you can do about it as an offensive lineman. More quickness than power is what I saw early in his tape. But then he did start flashing some pretty serious power with a good first step. Keeps pad level down. Walked the left guard into the quarterback with a bull rush. On the move, he can get pushed around a little bit, but he's a good mover to get back on track. Can wreck zone blocking. On the ground a little more than I'd like, and he will get moved backwards when he gets locked up. So even in my notes, Brian, I might have to flip him. You might be right. Might be Blacklock.
No,
I'm just saying. They're both second-round defensive tackles that
I've got, I want. I've got Matabike in the third myself.
Oh, what a hater.
It's not a hater, Jeff. It's reality.
You hate Texas A&M.
I do not. Everybody,
I cannot believe it.
Everybody in my family went to A&M but me. Everybody in my family went to A&M. Trust me, I heard that for a long time. I'm watching this kid play, and at 6'3", 303, I think I'm right about that. Am I right?
I got him 6'3", 304, okay, so we have a massive debate here.
Now I have to check every single thing. I mean, here these NFL guys are sending me numbers, and the numbers are clearly wrong there. But I did see a guy with some initial quickness. I did see a guy that gets off the ball and into the defender. I saw a guy that attacks a gap quickly. I've seen him line head up, swim a blocker, and get it to the quarterback in a flash. I mean, I think the quickness part of it's really, really good. He could be a hard guy to move at the point of attack. I think you had some concerns there about him a little bit. But I think he can anchor down when he wants to. Plays with some power, can pressure the blocker from the middle of the pocket. They use him on games inside, some athletic ability to free himself on the move. He'll go for the ball with the quarterback's hands. He can create some turnovers, stays active on his rush. I thought he had some strength with his awareness when it came to – I thought he had some struggles – with when it came to recognizing blocks, whether it was down blocks, trap blocks, it's like he didn't have a feel for that. You know, you got to be able to kind of have that sixth sense where, like, they're trying to trap you. Okay, dip underneath, get low, get small, get around. You know, don't let them trap block you at the point of attack. And I thought there was some. I thought that awareness kind of. Or lack of awareness bothered me. He just didn't have a feel for that or to show the anticipation in order to defend it. So, you know, you have to be aware of what's going on around you. And there's some snaps where he gets way too tall taking on blockers. You know, I felt like, you know, he's got some up and down to his game. And that's why I have him myself. He can look very impressive and then look very ordinary. That's why I have him in the third round myself.
Oh, Brian. You're losing.
Justin Matabike.
You used to be so good at this, Brian.
Yeah.
Who else are people asking about?
I used to be. See, there was a time.
If we disagree, clearly you're losing it.
Yeah, there was.
You just don't have it
there
anymore.
There used to be a time where we used to not have this problem. Can we talk? Okay, they asked about a linebacker from Ohio State.
Have not seen him, so this is all you, sir. Although I watched the wide receiver, KJ Hill, and I'm a big fan of his.
There's a lot to like. Malik Harrison, people were asking about a linebacker from Ohio State. He wears number 39, 6'3", again, hoping that 251 should be the right weight on him. 4.73 in the 40. This guy flows really, really well. I see him more as an outside linebacker, to be honest with you. 6'3".
He plays off ball?
Yeah, he really is. He's one of those guys, he flows well to the ball. He's got some pop when he tackles. He plays with range to get outside and make the plays. I do see a good job, the guy playing with his hands. He's quick to adjust laterally. I think that's what you got to be able to do. He's a wrap-up tackler when he gets in space. He could bring his man down. Runs well, but I'd like to see more of a burst when he plays. I mean, he could get outside, but some of these linebackers you watch can really, really run to get to the outside and like keep a 3-yard play, a 3-yard play, instead of allowing it to be a 6 or 7-yard play. But they use him as a blitzer, but I didn't think he was very effective at doing this. So I think he got stuck along the line and trying to create opportunities, and that was a problem, I thought. Aware to play in coverage, knows what's going on around him with the awareness and things, does a good job of reading plays quickly. Again, play with a little bit better burst, and I think he'd make a few more plays. Aware to handle the crosser, on crossing routes, those linebackers sometimes in those zone drops, they're not aware of the crossers. This guy's like, no, you're not going to cross in front of me and get away with it. He's a guy that'll deliver a blow and be disruptive doing those things. So I'm okay with the way he's doing that. When he is in on a play, he could be really, really good. He's more of a steady player than a spectacular player.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, yeah, I have him on my board as a third-round guy right now. I know some people have kind of talked about him potentially being I have him as a second-round guy. It's Dye from Oregon that I have in the third. So Harrison, Ohio State, third-round guy. That's behind Simmons, Murray, Braun. Those are all – I think those are first-round guys. And then I look for Harrison as a guy in that second round out of Ohio State.
Okay. We still got any more guys that you've been asked about?
Yeah. How about you want to talk about your Auburn cornerback? And that would be Igbignogene.
Oh, man. The other day I had to say his name,
That's
too.
That's how you said it phonetically. Igbignogene is how you say it.
Hold on. Noah. I got to find him. I got to find my guy. Here we go. Got it. I love him. Now, this again, you're a hater.
Not a hater.
I got him in the second round.
Whoa.
My only problem with him is...
He didn't make any plays?
The size.
Size. What do they have him at? Okay, now you got me scared.
They got him listed at 5'11", 200.
Okay.
On tape, I think he's going to measure under 5'10", or maybe 5'10". Just looking at the tape. Either that or every receiver on Florida and Minnesota is 6'4".
5'11", 199 is what... Yeah.
We'll see what the measurement is, because if he's 5'11", then every receiver he covered is 6'4", because he looked tiny out there. But I think he's hyper-competitive, physical. He runs really well. He crowds the slant route, doesn't give you anything easy, trusts his speed, plays inside routes well because he'll press and he's aggressive to the inside. Sticky in coverage, outstanding balance and change of direction. I think the size and length can limit his ability at times as a tackler, but he's incredibly willing to be physical and to tackle. And I just think he's tough to get rid of for wide receivers. Everybody on Florida and everybody on Minnesota, I didn't see a guy that could separate from him. I'm a fan.
Did you watch Alabama LSU?
I haven't seen Alabama or LSU.
Okay.
Is my guy getting killed in those games?
Well, he gives up a nice little fade to in the LSU game. So,
if you want to talk about Alabama or LSU, I tell you what, Jamar Chase can't get open on my guy at Mississippi State.
Okay,
Dantzler.
Okay, that's another guy we need to talk about
We'll get there.
Okay, but yeah, I do. This guy plays right corners at right corner. I thought he was kind of physically well built. In the Alabama and LSU game, he looked stocky, powerful. He looked the part for sure for a corner. I did see a guy that go low as a tackler. And then you talk about the length and stuff with the wrap up. I do like the ability to stay with this guy. I think he could play the ball in the air. I didn't think that he always found the ball well enough in the air though. In the Alabama game and then the LSU game that I watched, there was. Look back. It's very reminiscent of some of the things that we saw this, and I'm going to use a Dallas Cowboy reference, from what we saw from the Cowboys corners playing this year. That kind of wait for the hands to go up, eyes go up, play the ball kind of thing. I saw some of that to him. But you're right. I think this is a hard guy to shake. I think he just needs to look for the ball better. I didn't think he tracked it very well. I like the way he can carry his guy across the field. That's something he can run a little bit. You're right about that. This guy's a track guy. If you go back and look at his background.
Oh, is he?
He's a track guy for sure. So some stop-start quickness to his game, but there was some separation on a couple of plays I saw. And then, again, the balance on the fade that was thrown in the end zone in the LSU game. You need to watch those two games. I think that'll kind of give you a little bit better understanding. I had him personally in the fourth round myself.
Oh, Brian!
So maybe I need to watch Minnesota and what else did you
Florida.
Okay, I'll watch those two games. If you watch the teams that have the two best sets of receivers in the country, okay. which would be Alabama and LSU.
Okay.
Our last guy that we kind of need to get to, Jeff, if you would be your the young man from Mississippi State, Danzler.
Cameron Danzler.
Cameron Danzler.
I've got him at 6'2", 185, and you can tell that he is thin
yeah.
when you turn on the tape.
I got 183 myself, yeah.
5 career interceptions, 8 passes defended last year. 5 career interceptions, if I didn't say career.
Yeah.
And I watched him playing against LSU, and it appears that he was playing shadow coverage on Ja'Marr Chase.
That's the star coverage, yeah.
He was following him yeah. around the field, and other than one about 6-yard out route, he did not get open.
Yeah.
I saw him give up one catch to Ja'Marr Chase, and on that play, it was just that he's 180 pounds or 185 pounds,
yeah.
and he got moved
yeah.
on the out
route. Chase will do that to you.
Yeah, but outside of that, I thought he blanketed him. I mean,
yeah.
you're talking about vertical routes, stop routes, the change of direction, the stickiness and coverage is Danzler. The weird thing is that you can't be that sticky in coverage on that good of a receiver without incredible balance.
Yeah.
But he also ends up on the ground.
Yeah.
So, there were some things in there where I'm like, what is happening here? But, I think he's got some awareness to shoot when they tried to pick him on the goal line. And he was like, well, I'm just going to shoot in between all
yeah.
this and blow everything up.
Right.
And this isn't happening. It covered Thaddeus Moss a little bit. So mm-hmm. the size was easy for him to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I love the height. I love the movement skills.
The length.
He's just light.
Yeah, he is.
He's just light.
He's 183. I said the first thing out of the blocks is nice length, but thin built guy.
Yeah.
But he's not afraid to step up and tackler, but he doesn't have the physical side to him in order to wrap up like you'd want him to. But he's a physical.
Yeah, he will. The thing is though,
he'll throw his body around.
Yes.
He will throw his body, yeah.
He will throw a shoulder. He's not afraid to.
No.
But he has no idea how to tackle.
He's a physical player when it comes to press coverage. His best trait is his ability to stay with his man when playing up on the line. And
yep.
you talked about the sticky coverage, and you're absolutely right. He's got the footwork in order to maintain his position, ability to run with guys that he's covering. Coaches used him in star coverage. You're absolutely right about that. I thought there were some snaps where he needed to react a little quicker. And, there was sometimes he got caught on his heels a little bit, and then the ball was out in front of him, and then he was reacting that way. I mean, he would stand still, then react. He needs to kind of not do that. I thought there was a zone coverage bust against LSU where they ran. He got caught peeking into the backfield on the zone, and then they got a route behind him. I believe that was his issue there. But I did see a guy that will get his head around to defend the ball. The length helps, and the knock passes away. You can see that. You could line him up and on either side and let him go to work. Again, the length, the ability to stay with receivers, the stickiness. I love all the things you're talking about him. I just think he's at 183 pounds, 185 pounds. He is a slight player.
He had to tackle Thaddeus Moss on 2 plays in a
yeah,
row. The first one,
yeah.
he threw his shoulder in on the sideline as hard as he could.
And just kind of bounced off him.
He got him out of bounds.
Yeah.
And on the second one, he decided, oh, wait, I just tackled that guy and it hurt really bad.
Yeah.
So he took his ankle out.
Yeah. Where do you have him? Do you have him in that second round?
I've got him in the second round.
Okay. I've got him. Have you done – what other corners have
so
you done?
So my corners go Okuda, obviously, at
yeah.
the very top.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got the trio of Christian Fulton, C.J. Henderson, Trevon Diggs.
Okay. This is interesting. And you have him in that order?
Yes.
And these are all 1-2s in your books?
Fulton, I put a gap between Okuda and Fulton.
Okay.
And then a little gap between Fulton and then Henderson and Diggs.
I went Okuda and then big gap, Henderson, Fulton, and Diggs as my...
And I could
yeah.
I could get that too.
Okay.
I totally agree that Diggs is fourth.
Okay.
And I could go back and forth with Fulton and Henderson. Then in my second round, I got Gladney at TCU.
Uh-huh.
Then Danzler.
Uh-huh.
Then Auburn man.
Okay.
That's my second round. Bryce Hall, I got in the third.
Yeah.
Johnson, I got in the third.
So you haven't seen Terrell yet from Clemson?
I have not watched Terrell
yet. Okay, I got Terrell.
I watched him in the national title game get torched and it hurt my heart. Well, although he wasn't really torched. He just lost the catch point.
Just watch some other games. It's okay.
Why don't I watch where he played the best receivers in the country?
Watch Ohio State. You can watch Ohio State game. He'll be fine. But I got Terrell, Gladney, and then Arnett from Ohio
State. I haven't seen Arnett either.
Then I need to figure out, you haven't seen Jalen Johnson from...
I've seen Jalen Johnson. I don't like Jalen Johnson.
Okay, so you've got Danzler. I've got Johnson above Danzler and Hall.
I don't trust Jalen Johnson in man coverage.
That's fair.
I think he'll be, he'll be a cover three guy, right?
Yeah.
And then you could probably like him, but I think in man coverage...
The more I think about, and I'm looking at Hall, too, is another guy that, you know, maybe we... You did Hall?
I watched Hall.
Okay, maybe talk about him. Do you have him? Is he not in that mix anywhere with you guys, or is he down in the...
You got him in the fourth round? I've got him in the third.
Okay.
And, God, he had 21 passes defended 2 years ago?
I know.
He touched the ball 21 times 2 years ago. Now, last year he got hurt.
Yeah.
And he didn't play as many games, and people really didn't throw at him.
This is Bryce Hall, number 34 from Virginia. Again, another guy that's 6'2". Measurable I have is 202. 4'5'3". Kind of feels like he plays like that at times.
Yeah, but, and I hate their defense. They got him playing so much off coverage alternates between the open up and slide and the give up the short routes. But I really do like his ability to click and close when they stop.
I agree with you. I think this guy does play to his time speed a little bit at 4.53. I saw a guy that didn't always appear in balance. You know, there was times where it was like he was struggling to kind of get himself set and then get over there. But there's nothing. I didn't think there's anything really smooth about his game.
No, but he's got length, aggression, physicality.
He pedals top heavy though. That bothers. He's over the top of his feet.
Pedal and then
it's like he kicks himself. It's like he kicks. He kicks to get himself going, like he's riding a motorcycle. Kicks the motorcycle and then he starts going.
So I was thinking of it like you know how a bull does the little thing with his foot before he charges,
before he runs
like
over
his
the
back
matador,
pedal.
He's
constantly getting ready to do that move, and when it's time to go forward, it's like. I can run.
I'm all for the bulls in those bullfights, by the way, too.
No kidding.
Anytime they get the matador, I'm all for that.
So he's different. What he's asked to do and the way that they cover Virginia is pretty much different from every other corner in this class.
Did you see him
so
as kind of a grabby guy?
Because he doesn't
trust really his...
But also, like, screen game and run game. Yeah. He's physical.
Oh,
He'll throw a blocker off of him.
Absolutely.
He's a solid player.
He is.
I don't think he's as kind of twitched up and natural to match routes as some of these other guys.
Yeah. Well, the length, you're right. 6'2", 202 is what I have. But I think he does play to that 4.53 speed, and I've got him there in the third round. So that's kind of a little bit of a rundown of some guys. We could do this again. As we start digging in on some more of these other guys, we're kind of in those second, third, fourth round guys. We'll start hitting some of those fourth, fifth, sixth round guys too.
And we can start playing around with mocks for teams and situations
exactly.
What they would want to do and start hitting back on some of those big name guys. So
you'll
get a little bit of everything here on Trusted Tape.
Yeah.
And make sure you're following Brian on Twitter at Brian Broaddus. I'm at JC1053, and we'll catch you next week on Trusted Tape.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.